Okay, we're going to start with a very quick review of what we've done the last two shiurim. And out of the 11 points of Rav Kook on the importance of why superheroes of the Tanakh, why they all have to be physically strong and military heroes, so far we've mentioned 7 points, Baruch Hashem, and today we have another 4, Bezrat Hashem. Point number one, Rav Kook talks about biggest chidush of Torah Eretz Yisrael, of religious Zionism in Rav Kook's philosophy, is the idea that the physical and the spiritual don't contradict, that they work together. And it's true that for 2,000 years in exile, Jews just about totally focused on the spiritual. We didn't have an army, we didn't use our national language, we didn't work our national land. But now that we're returning, the time has come to revive the original Jew. That was the first and major point. The second point that we mentioned is that, and I'll just mention the philosophical aspect of that first point, is the idea of unity, of unification, that in monotheism, we believe that there is one creator, as opposed to paganism, which has a lot of different gods. And this one God, he created the physical world and the spiritual world, and they're meant to work together. That's why the ideal Jew is, as the Kuzari writes, nefesh bria beguf bari, a healthy soul in a healthy body. Point number two was we elaborated on the Jewish take on the question that all religions face, regarding hishtadlut and bitachon. What is the balance? Whereas we discussed how the Eastern religions stress predeterminism, fatalism, that inshallah, that God runs everything, and the man's free will is relatively limited. On the other extreme, the Western culture and Western children's stories stress that man runs the show, and God doesn't play any role. And Judaism, as always, is the middle road, the golden rule, and that is that we believe that man has free will. That's a very important point on which is based reward and punishment and commandments, really everything. So we do have free will. We have responsibility for our free will. On the other hand, Hashem also intervenes and he runs the show. And that's why throughout the Tanakh, we find that the heroes of the Tanakh, they have to plan military strategy and act. In the words of Simcha Bunim Abshischa, to act as if there is no God. And obviously we daven to a God, and we hope, and obviously he's the one in the end who decides. But when you plan the strategy, you have to plan as if there is no God, because we don't know his plan. That was point number two. Point number three, we discussed the importance of saving lives. That pikuach nefesh supersedes all mitzvot. And the only mitzvah which pikuach nefesh doesn't supersede are the three cardinal sins. But even then, we mentioned the famous No Debi Yehuda. I think, did we mention the No Debi Yehuda? That says that the only mitzvah which supersedes the three cardinal sins is Hatzalat Am Yisrael, saving Am Yisrael. And for that, you, Yael and Esther, even did Gilui Arayot to save Am Yisrael. And that's also how a soldier can charge the enemy, even if he's 100% sure that he knows, or jump on a hand grenade. He's 100% sure he knows he is going to die. And usually, your life comes before your friend's life, but on the battlefield, it's a totally different story. And that is the No Debi Yehuda. We also, I think we should have mentioned, I don't remember if we mentioned, the Yavetz, who points out that in the story of Yael, where, according to the Gemara in Nazir, Daf Chav Gimel, she seduces Sisera 7 times in order to tire him out. The Yavetz points out that the war was already over. Sisera's army had been decimated. It says, Lo Nishar Chayal Echad. He doesn't even have one soldier left. So the Yavetz asks, he's after the Nodeb Yehuda, he asks, so why was Yael allowed to do Giluy Arayot? That's not exactly saving Am Yisrael. And the Yavetz answers that even to prevent the next war is considered Hatzalat Yisrael, is considered saving Israel. And you have all these sources in your sheets. And that was point number three, why the heroes of the Tanakh are all military heroes, because the Torah is a Torah which stresses life. We spoke about how God is a Melech Hafetz Ba'am. He's a God. Yeah, Judy, you don't hear me?
There's an echo. We can't hear you at home.
Okay.
Maybe Tavia could close her microphone or something.
Oh, I unmuted this by accident. Okay. Okay. Is it better now? Is it better now? Okay. Okay, do you hear me? Who's that? Irv, can you give me a thumbs up if you hear me? Irving Chayat, do you hear me?
He didn't complain before, though.
You hear me? Okay. Great. So that was point number three, the importance of life. And Judaism stresses that Tum'ah is based on death or a lack of life. And Hashem likes Tahara. He likes life. And the whole Torah is based on life. And that is why we saw Rav Yosef Albo, who says that Hashem's Gvura, which is one of the 10 Kabbalistic traits, 10 Sfirot, that we are meant to emulate, Hashem's Gvura is Ata Gibor Leolam Hashem, Mechayem Metim. Not Memit Chayim, but Mechayem Metim. Right? Not like a boxer who tries to send you to the hospital, but somebody who gives life. That was point number three. Point number four, we spoke about Ahavat Yisrael. Ve'avtel Re'acha Kamocha, Ze Klal Gadol BaTorah. That is the ABCs of Judaism. And if anybody who loves the Jewish people, and he sees the Jewish people in danger, of course, Rav Kook stresses very much, he is going to get involved. And you don't... Anybody who doesn't understand that doesn't understand Judaism. We mentioned, Derech Agav, that true, Jesus did not understand Judaism. And when Am Yisrael was fighting the Romans, he was out contemplating his philosophy out in the Judean hills with the Essenes. And the rabbis said that is not the Jewish way. When the Jewish people are fighting the Romans, everyone's supposed to fight the Romans, right? There's no such thing as somebody who is holier than thou, or holier than Moshe Rabbeinu, or David HaMelech, or holier than all the heroes in the Tanakh. Okay, that was point number four. Point number five, we spoke about towards the end of last week's shiur, that when Am Yisrael is downtrodden, that's a chilul Hashem. That's a bad reflection on the God of Israel. And that is what the Muslims, they want to prove that God is Muslim through the jihad. Allahu Akbar, God is, their God is the greatest. And what the Christians call the Crusades, or what they call the wandering Jew, that the Jew is damned to be wandering as long as we don't accept Jesus. And all of this is a chilul Hashem, and that is why all the ideal Jew and all the heroes of the Tanakh stood up for the honor of Hashem, as David tells Goliath. Point number, where are we up to? Six. Is to fight against evil. And this, again, is significantly different than Christianity, which says resist not evil. You can't fight against the Satan. Judaism says you have to resist evil. Lo ta'amod al dam re'acha, you're not allowed to stand idly when even one Jew is in danger, how much more so when the Jewish people are threatened. And there's a mitzvat asay of hatzalah mirodef, right, that whenever the Torah really wants to stress something, gives also an asay, a positive mitzvah, and also a negative mitzvah, even though it's really the same thing, but the idea is to stress the importance. And that was the last point that we did last time. Okay, we today are going to, let's look at source number 31. You know what? Let's start with source 30, because this is, it all gets back to the Ramban. The Ramban, in his additions to the Sefer HaMitzvot, on the sheets that you have, what source number is it? Did anybody 30. Find it?
30.
Oh, it is 30. Okay. The Ramban writes as follows, "Shenitztavenu lareshet ha'aretz, we were commanded to inherit or to conquer the land, asher natan ha'el yidbarach lavotenu l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov, we were commanded to conquer the land of Israel, the promised land that Hashem promised our forefathers, velona azva biyad zulatenu min ha'umot, and we're not allowed to leave the land of Israel in the hands of other nations, O lishmama, or barren. V'hu amro lahem, this is what Hashem commands us, in Bamidbar lagnag, lamid gimel nun gimel, vo'ashtem et ha'aretz v'shavtem ba. And notice, a lot of people, I know there are a lot of Zionists call this correctly, mitzvah yishuv ha'aretz. This is the source of the mitzvah, to live in the land of Israel. But if you notice the pasuk, and you notice the Ramban's definition of the pasuk, there are really two verbs in the pasuk. It's not just v'yishavtem, you have to live in the land and settle the land, build the land, liyashev, but also v'horashtem is to own the land, to conquer the land, to inherit the land. And in the words of the Ramban, that we should not, lo nazva biyad zulatenu min ha'umot, that we're not allowed to leave the land of Israel in the hands of other nations. This, by the way, was the Isur, one of the Isurim, in giving away Gush Katif. Baruch Hashem, today we're back again. I hope we'll settle it again. That it has to be under Jewish rule. Because if we have to get up and go and conquer the land of Israel, how much more so if it's already in our hands since the Six-Day War that you're not allowed to give it away? Just like if, I know a guy in the yeshiva, when we were getting married, I don't know, Ellie, we got married around the same time. Do you remember one of the big gifts was a challah cover? Wedding gifts have come a long way since those days. And somebody in the yeshiva, you know, he used to get 10 challah covers. And one of the guys gave one of the challah covers that he got to another guy who gave it to him. And it's one of those classic stories, but it really was a true story. And if somebody gives you a gift, you know, you should say thank you. And don't let him know that you're giving it away. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael, it's obviously not honor or respectful to give it away to other people. Now, Rav, I saw two different Rabbanim, and one professor, who quoted Rav Yehuda Amital, saying that this idea of stressing the conquering of the land of Israel was a chidush of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. Obviously, it's based on the Ramban. And this Ramban, by the way, the Pitrei Tshuva, should really see it inside if you're not familiar. It's in Evan Ezer, Siman Ayin He, Sif Katan Vav, where he summarizes all the poskim, Rishonim and Achronim, who hold that the halacha is like the Ramban. The Stei Chemed also, when he talks about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, he's probably quoting the Pitrei Tshuva, because it's mamash word for word, that all the Rishonim and Achronim hold halacha is like the Ramban, that there is a mitzvah in all generations to conquer the land of Israel. Now, we know that Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to talk about this all the time. I heard Rav Tzvi Yehuda maybe 20 times, almost every time that I heard him, he mentioned this mitzvah of conquering the land of Israel. That's the mitzvah of having a Jewish state, of controlling the land of Israel. Rav Amital apparently, at least once, claimed that this mitzvah is not mentioned anywhere in the writings of Rav Kook. And Kvodo b'makom munach, Rav Amital, obviously was a great Talmid Chacham, but he did not have a computer. And he could not check it up. And in one footnote, in one of the articles that I wrote on this topic, I quoted 22 different places that Rav Kook, the father, talks about the importance of conquering and owning the land of Israel. So, you know, obviously it's not Rav Amital's fault. He didn't have a computer to check these things out. But it's just a good pointer. If even a Rosh Yeshiva and a Talmid Chacham sometimes makes this mistake, everybody in life, you should never say, it doesn't say anywhere. You should say, I have not seen it, or I am not familiar. 22, I'm not exaggerating, 22 different places in the writings of Rav Kook. Rav Kook talks about the importance of having a Jewish state in the context of conquering the land of Israel. And by the way, if anybody knows the students of Rav Amital, you should really point this out to them, because like I said, I've heard this quoted from him on at least three different learned people in his name, and it's simply not accurate. So it's not respectful to quote somebody who's was not able to check it out and is very far from accurate on this point. Just one example, in Source 31. Rav Kook writes in Chazona Geula, Chalila lanu lidbatel mi'amitzvah ha'chamura shebachamurot. He says, Chas v'shalom, we should not fulfill the mitzvah. How would you say lead batel?
To nullify.
Chas v'shalom, we should not nullify this mitzvah, which is among the chamura shebachamurot, the serious of all serious mitzvot, shel kibush eretz hakodesh v'kinyana, of conquering the land, the Holy Land, and acquiring it, she'en shum hitnatzlut lead batel mitzvah chiyuvit. This is an obligatory mitzvah. There is no way out of this mitzvah. And you cannot be clearer than this. Maybe I'll just mention one other example, that it's really Baal Peh, so I didn't bring it in the sources. Many of you may know Professor Yehuda Mirsky, who put out two books on Rav Kook. And his grandfather was a student of Rav Kook in Merkaz HaRav. Afterwards, he went to Yeshiva University. You probably heard of Professor Mirsky. There was a father and a son. It was a very famous family. And he once was talking with Rav Kook in learning, and somebody came in and asked him, this was after Ma'orot Tarpat, after the 1929 riots, and somebody from the Jewish Agency, if I remember the details correctly, asked Rav Kook, in the name of shalom, in the name of peace, to tell the British that we are not interested in Har HaBayit. It does not belong to the Jewish people, or we're, you know, maybe in the way off future as some kind of dream. But in other words, in order to make peace with the Arabs, to make peace with the British. And Rav Kook got so angry. Rav Mirsky, the grandfather, said, he writes, he had never seen Rav Kook angry like he was at that time. And when the person from the Jewish Agency left, he told the student, Rav Mirsky, he said, how could anybody give up Jewish ownership of Kibush Eretz Yisrael? Rav Kook felt very, very strongly about this, as did his son Rav Tzvi Yehuda. Rav Tzvi Yehuda was just continuing the way of his father. But that's a very, very important mistake to clarify. And now you have another reason why the heroes of the Tanakh were all military heroes, and they all served in the army, because there is a mitzvah to conquer the land of Israel, and how much more so to protect it if it's already in our hands. By the way, I'll make a long story short in one sentence for those who know the sugya. The Rambam, he talks about three types of milchemet mitzvah. One is conquering Eretz Yisrael. The second is the war against Amalek. The third is a war of self-defense, where obviously all the wars of the Israeli defense forces are the third type of milchemet mitzvah. But also the first type of milchemet mitzvah is not just in the Ramban. If you look in the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, his definition of conquering Eretz Yisrael is not clear, It's a famous question. But the answer is, as is very often the case, if you look in his Perush HaMishnayot in Masechet Sotah, where he talks about the definition of Milchemet Mitzvah as opposed to Milchemet Rashut, the Rambam is explicit. He says Milchemet Rashut, an optional war, is to go and to conquer Yemen, right, or America, right, for the Israel to go and conquer a land which is not part of the promised land. That is an optional war. But to conquer land inside the borders is a milchemet mitzvah, regardless of whether it's from the seven nations of Canaan or from the Arabs. Okay? And anyway, for those who might have gotten confused on that famous Rambam, so you just had a hour-long shiur in one shiur. Because they're just looking at the Rambam's Perush HaMishnayot where he clarifies his opinion. Okay, so that is another point. Another point, let us look in source number 40. We're running out of time, and we have to finish this class today. By the way, but so I don't forget to say, we're going to finish tonight the this paragraph in Rav Kook, in Orot HaMilchama, the second paragraph of Orot HaMilchama. But, Bezrat Hashem, in the coming weeks, we will learn the rest of Orot HaMilchama. We're going to cover all of Orot HaMilchama, but what we're finishing tonight is just one paragraph, which took three shiurim. A lot of important topics. Point number four, source 40. This is Rav Kook in Ikvei Atzon. In page Kuf Lamed Chet. And I just chose this. Rav Kook talks about this idea in many, many places. But as I've done in the past, I always look for the shortest, concisest quote to speak telegraphically, especially if our shiurim are so short. Rav Kook is talking about Kibbutz Galiot. When Am Yisrael returns to the land of Israel, as at that point, Tia hashba'a kulturit amitit liYisrael ba'olam. Israel will have a true cultural influence on the world. She'am chashuv, because important nations, superpowers, mashpia, they influence the world, lo rak bifrat nifrad mimenu, not just on this detail or that detail, ki'im bechol atzmiyuto, but in everything that they do. Rav Kook here is referring to the concept that Shlomo HaMelech really says, it's really in the Tanakh, but Rav Kook says we have to bring this back on the agenda, because 2,000 years it wasn't on the agenda. Source 41, Shlomo HaMelech writes, you know, we've been talking, again, this is our third class, and the final class, about the importance of Gevura, of physical and military strength. But Shlomo HaMelech writes as follows, Ve'amarti ani, Tova chokhma migvura. Wisdom is more important than strength. And by the way, we all know that. Anybody who learned Judaism knows that. I'm just saying this, that in our context, because our topic is gvura, you might have thought that gvura is like the top of the top. No, it's not the top of the top. Wisdom is the top of the top. You remember Shlomo HaMelech himself, at the beginning of Sefer Melechim, where Hashem says, I will grant you any wish that you want. And Shlomo HaMelech asked for wisdom. And Hashem said, you hit the jackpot, because when you have, I'll give you wisdom, Hashem says, you will also get wealth and success and everything, because wisdom really is the key to success. So Shlomo, all that being said, Shlomo says, Ve'amarti ani tova chokhma migvura. It's true that wisdom is more important than gvura, strength. But, and here is the punchline on this point, Ve'chokhmat hamisken bezuya udvarav einam nishma'im. But the wisdom of the misken, the nebuch, Nebuch, that's Yiddish, but in English we all say Nebuch, loser. The wisdom of the loser is rejected, and his words are not listened to. We all know that, we'll just take the example of superheroes, right? If I can show my son, and my son, when he learns Tanakh, say for Bereshit, he sees Avram Avinu, lahavdil a million havdalot, like Superman, right? Batman, Spider-Man, right? He wants to emulate Avram Avinu. And we want our children, and we want ourselves to emulate all of the heroes in their chokhmah, in their wisdom, in their kindness, in their spirituality, in everything that we want to emulate. But if you want people to emulate someone, they have to see that person as a winner, not as a loser. Chokhmat misken bizuya. Again, wisdom is more important than gvura. But if you don't have gvura, nobody's going to listen to you. And every time I see this pasuk, I remember there's a very famous pasuk picture in the Shoah that all of you have seen. You know, there are like 15 pictures on Yom HaShoah that in every single ta'arucha display, there are always. And one of them is a Hasidic-looking Jew with large tefillin. Hasidim use them to this day. They have huge tefillin shel rosh. And he is standing barefoot with a large talit. And there's a group of like 10 Nazis, yimach shemam, pointing at him and laughing at him. Right? I'm sure you've all seen the picture. That is connected with the point that we mentioned last week, a chilul Hashem. Okay, that's a chilul Hashem, that they're laughing at Judaism, they're laughing at Tefillin, they're laughing at the God of Israel, they're laughing at his Torah, they're laughing at his morality and the Ten Commandments and everything. But in addition to that, what Rav Kook is saying here is that if we want to influence the world, which we do, we are an Or LaGoyim, we're supposed to be a light unto the nations, the only way that we can influence other nations is if they respect us, and not if they're laughing at us, and not if they trod on us. And that's another reason, getting back to Rav Kook in Source 40, as at that time, when all the Jews will return to Eretz Yisrael, you know what? I always like giving the example, those who have been learning with us for years, I'm sure remember the example, of what Rav Kook is talking about. That when my son, Netanel, was like 10, one day he asked my wife to buy cornflakes. He just wants to eat Telma cornflakes. Now, it's without sugar, without artificial coloring, so it's not too bad. Sounds good, right? So my wife, but she doesn't understand why all of a sudden he doesn't like junk food anymore. He wants to eat Telma cornflakes. And then she gets to the Makolit by Moti Cohen, Zichrono Livracha, and she understands that on the box of Telma cornflakes is a picture of Omri Kaspi, the star of Maccabi Tel Aviv, afterwards the Warriors and Sacramento Kings. He was like he was the first Israeli in the NBA, and he says that he eats cornflakes. So my son wants to eat cornflakes. Now, just like in the micro, so too in the macro. Nations like to copy the leader. They like to copy the winner, the superpowers. So when people my age were growing up, there were two superpowers in the world, right? So you had half the world copying America and listening to American music and watching American movies. And the other half of the world was copying the Soviet Union and wearing Soviet fashions and watching Soviet movies. And that was before your time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And is that me? V'kitzur, since the fall of the Soviet Union in the Glasnost in Tavshin Mem Tet, 1989, the entire world, even Russia, even France, but they don't like the Anglos, everyone is copying America and watching American movies and listening to American music. And the reason why that's a problem is because American culture that's coming out of Hollywood is to a large extent Gilui Arayot, Avodah Zarah, Shfichut Damim, right? Violence and sex. And that is what is influencing the world. What Rav Kook is saying here is what's going to happen when all of the Jewish movie producers are going to be producing movies not from Hollywood, but from Yerushalayim. And I don't know about Spielberg, but Spielberg's grandson, and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's grandsons, and the Warner Brothers' grandsons, right? And all the Simons and Garfunkels and all the Jewish musicians are going to be composing the music of the world's culture from Yerushalayim. And all of the Jewish clothes designers are going to be designing the clothes that the world wears. All of the Calvin Kleins and Marks and Spencers and Levi Strausses and Gotex and Mizrahi and all those clothes designers, they will be designing the clothes of the world, not from Hollywood or New York, but from Yerushalayim. And what Rav Kook is saying is that just like America does not force anybody to follow their culture, Am Yisrael, we're not interested in forcing anybody to copy us. But the way of the world is that the world likes to follow the leading culture. And when all of those Jews will be making the world's culture, but not out of Hollywood, but from Yerushalayim, it's not going to be difficult to influence the world. And that is another reason why you have to be respected. Because people who are respected, those are the ones who influence the world. And that is another point. Another point. Running out of time. Let us look in...
Number 8?
40. I lost count. Well, I'll summarize it at the end. Source 45. Source 45. And this is really very much connected with what's going on today in the United Nations and in Gaza. Rav Kook writes in Ma'amarei Ri'ya, page 429, Hinei ikar midat ha-Torah hi chesed. As Chazal say in the Midrash of Megillat Rut, the entire Torah, from the beginning to the end, is chesed, is kindness. And that is one of the major midot, one of the major traits of Hashem, chesed. Kindness, giving. Kamo shekatuv Torat Chayim va'avat Chesed. Right? The Gemara actually learns it out, the Midrash I mentioned learns it out from Torat Chesed al-Lishonah, that the entire Torah is based on Chesed. That's the Chidush of Megillat Rut. Not the Chidush, but it's driven home because in the Torah talks about it all the time, but in Megillat Rut we see how it is lived. Omnam. Shleimut ha-Torah ve-shorash ha-emunah shiyu kol amidot klulot ba besod ha-ahdut. As we said in the first point, all of the 13 traits of God, all of the 10 sefirot, are meant to be united together, harmonizing together. Ve-gam midat ha-achzariyut keshemishtamshim mimena likdusha. Even one of the traits, like cruelty, it's not one of the outstanding 13 traits of God, but there is a time and a place to act cruel. Hi davar hamashlim et haTorah. That is necessary for completing the Torah. Without the mitzvah of zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek, the Torah would not be complete. Kesha'al pi haTorah mizdamen shetzarich limsor nafsho lemidot achzariot kedei lekadesh shem shamayim. We were commanded, as we learned about last week, that even to give our lives to hallow God's name, to make a kiddush Hashem, to fight against the evil in the world. Ach etzel ish bal midot tovot. But a person who has good, godly character traits, who davar kal limsor nafsho ve'atzmo bimkom atzarich, to give his life al kiddush Hashem, as many Jews did over Jewish history. You know, to give your own life, okay. You know, that's a one-time action. It's a great, unbelievable mesirut nefesh. But that's not as difficult as the following. Avaliyot achzari al acherim, hu davar yoter kaved umenugad lemidot hatovot. For a good, God-fearing Jew, God-practicing Jew, it is very difficult for us even to pretend to be cruel. Right? All year long, 612 mitzvot long, 611, we talk about being good, being nice, being helpful and kind, it's being godly, right? And giving and merciful and kind and patient and tolerant. And then all of a sudden, when it gets to the battlefield, we are told, yeah, you have to charge the enemy. And you know what? You have to even pretend to be cruel, even though that's not your nature. And Rav Kook is saying, if you think about it, this is more difficult than it is to give your life. Or to take somebody else's life is more difficult than to give your own life. Because to give your own life, you know, okay, you're it's with
over.
It. What?
It's over.
It's over, right? But on the battlefield, when David Meir, Hashem Yikom Damo, was just taken down, tens of terrorists, one after the other, a couple weeks ago in Kibbutz Be'eri, that's not his nature. Now, he was trained to do it. You know, once the battle starts, you're trained, if you're trained, so you can do it. Rav Kook is saying that is not the nature of a Torah Jew. Ach, כשמזדמן שהשעה צריכה לכך, נאמר על זה ארור מונע חרבו מדם. Yirmiyahu says, and by the way, the Rambam brings this, lehalacha in hilchot melachim u'milchamotehem. He says that anybody who doesn't help out the Israeli army when Am Yisrael is at war, about him it is said, cursed is the person who prevents his sword from drawing blood. And for those who don't want to serve in the army because they're busy learning Torah, the Rambam disagrees very, very strongly. Yirmiyahu disagrees very strongly. To curse somebody who wants to be like Jesus and contemplate and think about spirituality when Am Yisrael, when it's a time, at least to pretend to be cruel, that's not the thing to do. And that person is cursed. Arur monea harbomi. By the way, the Rambam writes of the 24 people who do not have a share in the world to come. One of them is a porish midarkei tzibur. Somebody who separates himself from the nation. And the Rambam goes into detail. When Am Yisrael is upset, he's not upset. He doesn't feel part of it. When Am Yisrael is at war, he doesn't join in. He's not part of it. The Rambam says, even if that person fulfills all of the mitzvot, he has no share in the world to come because he is a, maybe, quote-unquote, a religious Jew, but he's missing the aspect of nationalism in his Judaism. And anybody who's learned Tanakh and anybody who learns Rav Kook is reminding us that nationalism, that to be a Torah Jew, you should be the first one to volunteer to go out on the battlefield and help Am Yisrael and do Kiddush Hashem and to do chesed to the Jewish people who are in danger and to stand up for the honor of all those Jewish girls whose honor was defiled systematically. How can you not go out and revenge the honor of the Jewish daughters, the daughters of the king? Our sisters, our daughters, our mothers, 85-year-old women, you know, you all know the horrors. How can a person not go out and fight that war? That's what Rav Kook is quoting Yirmiyahu and the Rambam. Arur monea harbo midam. And by the way, this may sound like it's pretty harsh. It is. The Rambam is very strong. And interesting, Rav Soloveitchik made the same diuk in the Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in the Rambam that somebody who may be a very religious Jew, you know, like Neturei Karta, but if they don't participate when Am Yisrael is suffering, and they're not happy when Am Yisrael is happy.
They join the enemy.
Right, I saw a picture recently of they were protesting in South Africa. That is, by the way, you should know that Rav Henkin Zatzal, the grandfather, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, when I was growing up in America, there were two great poskim in America. One was Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the other was Rav Henkin. Do you remember Rav Henkin? Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin? And he wrote an article in the War of Independence against the Neturei Karta. And he writes, I myself was not a Zionist, but once they already proclaimed the state of Israel, and seven Arab armies attacked us to push us into the sea, anybody who speaks against the state of Israel, is referring explicitly to the Nature Carta, they have the Din of Moser. And I won't say on recording what the Din of Moser is. Of somebody who is rebelling against the Jewish people. He is siding with the enemy.
Is this the halacha for Mechemet Rashut as well as Mechemet Mitzvah?
A fantastic question. The Rambam says this is the same thing for Milchemet Rishut. Even for an optional mitzvah, that we are fighting a economic war. Like David HaMelech, one time he went out to conquer, to spread the borders of Israel for economic reasons. Come on, Brachot talks about it. Yeah, you have to give your life, and it's called the Kiddush Hashem. And the Rambam, based on the Gemara, says that you can, unfortunately, you know, if need be, sacrifice 1/6 of the soldiers of Israel. You can kill 16% of the Jewish men, the government, if need be, for the sake of Milchemet Rishut. Because it's also talking about the honor of the Jewish government. To the same extent, a king, Melech Shemachal Kvodo, En Kvodo Machol, right? A head of the Sanhedrin can say, don't stand up for me. Kohen Gadol can say, don't stand up for me. The king who has the honor of Israel, that's what the Rambam, anybody who has never learned Hilchot Melachim or Milchamoteim of the Rambam, really should really go through it from the beginning to the end, because you really, it's difficult to understand religious Zionism until you've gone through all of the Rambam. It's just the last part of the Rambam. I'm not saying all the Mishneh Torah. That's also good, but at least Hilchot Melachim. Continues Rav Kook. V'Shaul nichshal b'chemlato al Amalek. King Saul was punished that he felt sorry and did not kill the king of Amalek. Umizanu yicholim lahakir koach hagvurot hakdoshot anichlalot b'toratenu hakdosha she'oraita b'gvura itavit. The Torah was given through Gvura. Rav Kook is saying this is included in the type of Gvura that we're referring to. Ubeemet haroeh mirachok adam mitnaheg b'midat achzariyut eino yachol litzayer she'otzem ikar kavanato likdusha o lechesed amiti. There are some people who read the Tanakh and they say, well, this seems like a cruel book. If they see something about Amalek or the book of Yehoshua. And if you don't see the whole story, you don't see what the enemies did to us first, and you don't understand what the enemies were like in the times of Tanakh, like Rav Kook goes on to say in Mamar Eriya, he says that you have to fight the enemy in his language. If the enemy speaks Arabic, you speak to him in Arabic. And David HaMelech, by the way, did some unbelievable things that also I wouldn't put on tape in order to deter the enemy, because that's what was considered a deterrent in our days, in his days, so we have to do the same thing in our days, anything to deter. Rak mi shemagia lema'ala zu ba lemakom ish kaze veroeh ech kol machshavato hi rak lechesed. But somebody who is at the proper level and has gone through the Torah, and he knows the greatness of the importance of chesed, and he knows that somebody who's going out to the battlefield is doing chesed to defend the honor of Israel and the daughters of Israel and the God of Israel. And all of this is chesed. Al yedei midat achzariyut. Achzariyuto. As the term that we used last time, our wars are a war against wars. The wars of Israel are war against wars. I like giving the mashal of what is Zachorat Asher Asah Lecha Amalek. Rav Kook points out that the last thing that should occupy a modern Jew is to start hunting down Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of history, took care of that. There's no Amalek. You don't have to. That's not what has to preoccupy us. What has to preoccupy us is chesed, is giving, it's, you know, gvura, but not Amalek. So that's Hashem got rid of Amalek. But nevertheless, the obvious question, and the Rambam asked this, so why do we need to remember every single year even 2,500 years after Sancheirev got rid of Amalek, or David HaMelech, or Mordechai, Amalek was gotten rid of a lot of different times. But we don't have time to get into that. Why do we still have to remember them? Even in Yemot HaMashiach, the last remnant of Amalek is that we're going to, every year, the Shabbat before Purim, read about that there once was an Amalek. Why do we need that? So the Rambam has a beautiful term. He says, Le'orer Evato. We have to awaken hate. And what's the mashal that I always give? Of a father whose young daughter is growing up. And he's having a father-daughter conversation with him. Says, listen, you're very sweet. You're very kind. You're very nice. But you're also naive. Don't be naive. There are some bad people out in the world. Don't let anybody take advantage of you. Right? That's a responsible father is telling that to his daughter as she's growing older. And that is what we remember. That's what the Rambam says. We have to awaken hate. Why do we have to awaken hate? Because we're nice guys. Just look one by one of all the people here and all the people on the screen. You are all nice people. I don't know even one cruel Jew. But that's what the Rambam says. And that's what Rav Kook is saying. We have to sometimes, at least once a year, pretend to be cruel. I just remember when I had to stand at the Machsumim. How do you say Machsumim?
Checkpoints.
And during the Second Intifada, I remember we were told that the Arabs smuggle in suicide bomber belts on pregnant women in ambulances coming from Ramallah into Jerusalem. So we have to stop and especially check every ambulance and especially check every pregnant woman or somebody who pretends to be pregnant. And I'm not a tough guy. But what I did whenever I was in the Miluim and I knew I'd have to pretend to be tough, you know, at checkpoints, I bought these one-way sunglasses. What are they called? Reflective glasses? That you see them, but they cannot see your eyes. Because when you see a person's eyes, you can see when he's just putting on an act. And I remember one time we had had to stop an ambulance, and there was a pregnant woman, and I had to, hey,
send me an ambulance. Akshav!
You know, pretend to be tough. And it was just an act. You know it's an act because you know me. But, you know, somebody who doesn't know you, if he doesn't see your eyes, it's not an act. And that's exactly what we have to do. We're running out of time, so let us finish off. Source 48. Utchunat, Rav Kook writes in Einaya Shabbat Tet Kuf Mem Gimel, Utchunat Masirut Nefesh Yakdusha Ha'elyona Hamigala
When a person is willing to even give his life for the ideals of the Torah, for Am Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lamut al Kiddush Hashem, that is the ultimate in altruism. And Rav Kook writes in the footsteps of the Zohar, in the footsteps of the Ramchal, when the Ramchal writes, why did Hashem create the world? Right? We've discussed this in the past. Hashem is perfect. He doesn't need anything. So why did he create the world? The only answer is, only possible answer is out of altruism. Hashem wants to give selflessly, which is the type of giving that does not infer that he was lacking something, that he needed something. Now, we Jews are meant to be altruistic. And the ultimate in altruism, says Rav Kook, is literally Mesirut Nefesh. And that's what's done on the battlefield. And that's why Gidon and Yiftach and Shimshon and Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua ben Nun and David HaMelech and all the heroes of the Tanakh, they did it. To summarize, we mentioned 11 points. Very, very quickly, we're not going to elaborate at all, just a number one. Why do ideal Jews have to be also physically strong and military heroes as we were in the Tanakh? Number one, to unite the physical and the spiritual. One God, one creator. Point number two You can see this as a summary at the end of your pages. Chiyuniyuto hishtadlut ha'enoshit. The importance of balancing hishtadlut and bitachon. You can't just wait for God to do miracles. Point number three. Chashivuta gana v'arta'a. Pikuach nefesh lepratu lechlal. The importance of pikuach nefesh. How much more so to save the Jewish people? The importance of deterring the enemy. Number four, Avat Yisrael, Lumit, loving the Jewish people, also for the individual Jew, and also for the nation of Israel. Number five, conquering the land of Israel, and protecting the land of Israel. Number six, Nitzachon Yisrael, when Am Yisrael is victorious, that is a Kiddush Hashem. But if Am Yisrael is weak, is downtrodden, when we lose a war, that is a Chilul Hashem. Zayin, Rak Ma'atzama Mashpia, what we saw in Ikvei Atzon, that only the strong, also the individual, and also Am Yisrael, has to be a superpower in order to influence. Chet, lilachem bara olami, to fight the evil. As opposed to Christianity, we believe, don't suffer evil, you have to resist evil and fight evil. It's moral to fight evil. Tet, gvurat haguf kichli ligvurat hanefesh v'machshava. We didn't have time to elaborate on this, but if you see the sources, that the nation of Israel, just like the individual, needs to have a strong kli to hold his great spirituality. 10. Yud, bitui ma'alef lemesirut nefesh altruisti. Tama briya, the reason why the world was created was altruism, and the ultimate in altruism is, if need be, to be willing to give your life for Am Yisrael and for Hashem. And 11, Melech Chafetz B'chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of life, and we fight to defend life. We, as opposed to the terrorists, don't glorify those by how many they killed. We glorify those who save lives. Next week, we will begin a new aspect of Orot HaMilchama.